Hi everybody, this is Mary Emerson, and I'm here to talk about the SARA Camera Edition. SARA stands for Scanning and Reading Appliance, and this is a device that is sold by Freedom Scientific. And I just got mine today, and after unpacking it and reading some of the material and doing a bit of reading, just to test it out, I thought I would do a podcast about it. I haven't seen too much written about it, and there are some things that are not explained too well in what I have heard and what I've found on the web, so I thought I would do just a little more explaining and discussing of what this is. This is recorded on the 14th of January, 2011, and I do apologize for the popping of peas and the blowing into the mic. I had the recorder on a lanyard around my neck, and that is why you're getting the sound that you're getting. This is essentially a camera with a platform attached to it with some buttons both on the front edge, which is closest to you, and on the top of the front, the part that faces up. There are, in fact, two levels. One is the lower level where the buttons are, and the upper level is where you scan. And the camera is attached to the back. In fact, the camera is attached to the page alignment guide. What happens is when you get the device, inside the box with the documentation is the camera that is attached permanently to the page guide, and you are attaching the page guide to the back of the SARA itself. And once you attach that page guide, the camera is also in place, except that you have to raise it up to put it into position to see what you're scanning. But to attach the page guide, there are slots that line up with the back of the device, and paired with these slots are holes, and there are screws that screw into these holes. And once you get those screwed in tight, not real tight, but just tight enough to know that they're not going to move anywhere, then you have the page guide permanently attached. And then the camera is hanging down kind of in front of this post closest to you. There's a little button on the right side of the top of the camera. Not on the top facing the ceiling, but the part that is facing the right side of the room. And in order to get the camera into position, you don't touch the switch, but you swing the camera up so that it swings up towards you and then up to the ceiling, and it locks into place. I think you just heard me lock it. Now let me push the release switch. And it's facing down again, but I'll bring it back up, and it snaps into place. I'm going to bring it back down again. There we go. And that is essentially the only type of assembly you have to do, except that you have to assemble the AC adapter, which just amounts to plugging a cable into a three-prong place on one side of this AC adapter, and there's a cable that comes out of the other side which connects to the device. The part that you connect is the adaptable part. Depending on the part of the world that you're from, you would get a certain type of connection that would fit your electrical outlets. So that's essentially all that you have to do to assemble this thing. You just plug it in, and then you can turn it on once you learn what the buttons do. This machine looks like it is assembled from a PC case with modifications inside of it, because if you look at the back of it, it's a little bit confusing because you can find not only four USB ports, two of which are required, because the camera has to plug into one of them, and there is a very short cable coming out of the bottom of that for that purpose. And then the other connection is for your USB cable that comes with the scanner. And the USB cable can be used to plug in a thumb drive or some other USB device. And it is essentially an extension cable. It won't work, if you're curious to try it, as I was, it will not work with NLS cartridges. So no, don't use it with NLS cartridges. And then you have two extra ports, and you can use one of them with a Braille display and just whatever you want. However, above two of the USB ports, there is an internet connection, and maybe that will be something that will happen in the future. I don't know. But there is also a monitor connection, so that if you're sighted or partially sighted and you need a monitor, then you can plug that in. It's just a standard VGA port. To the right, there are two PS2 connections for a keyboard and a mouse, and I'm thinking maybe that's a future enhancement. I don't know. The power jack is on the left side of the back, if you're facing the front, and it just plugs in via the AC adapter. I noticed that as I unplugged it and plugged it back in, that the speaker seemed to turn on. So I don't know if this thing is just permanently getting some sort of power from the wall outlet or what's going on here, but I'm going to leave it plugged in. I have this setting next to the Opticon, and the reason I've got it here is so that it can be very convenient to use. Although I am a PC user, I found that my crowded workspace would not allow me to use the Pearl as conveniently as I thought that I would be able to. I would have to hook up the Pearl and then start up OpenBook 9 and then just go on from there and try to move a bunch of stuff around so I'd have room for books and papers and stuff, and it was just too awkward. In addition to that, there are times when you don't have the PC on and you really want to scan something. I've gotten really spoiled with this type of thing because I am an Opticon user and I just switch on the Opticon when I want to read something. And there are times when I don't have the PC turned on, but I would like to scan a book. And then there are times when I have the PC on, which is most of the time, but I'm doing other things and I just don't have the ability to move enough stuff around to make room for the Pearl and to get OpenBook 9 up and running. Why not just get a device that will work without a PC? And that was my main reason for getting this device. I found that even though I had a Pearl, I kept putting off scanning books in, and I just put it off, and this is going to be so much better, I think.
This is going to work out wonderfully because it's always going to be here. What you get with the device, you get a plastic bag containing the USB cable. You get another plastic bag, which I thought had documentation, but what it has is some keyboard templates, and these will allow you to cover up certain keys if you're in a library situation or you want to work with people in training and teaching people to use a device and you don't want them pushing keys by mistake. You can use this. It includes a plate to which some of these templates attach, and then you just attach the plate to the device. And I have no intention of using that, so I looked at it just enough to see what it was. And then there's a box that contains the accessories, which include the Braille and print documentation. There is a short Braille guide that has 8 Braille pages. And it's quite handy, actually. I wasn't going to read it initially, and then I thought, well, why not? It has the usual congratulations paragraph, and then it talks about how to set up the Sara, and it gives some good detailed steps that are even more detailed than what you get in the Sara user's guide, which is actually in the device, and also you can get it off the web from the Freedom Scientific site in PDF form. I converted it to a text file, and so I have it in my PackMate. And then starting on page 4, there's scanning and reading with Sarah C.E. And then on page 5, it starts the overview of Sarah C.E. controls. And it gives the keypad list, which I find quite handy. And then on page 7, it gives the front panel buttons. And these are the buttons that are on the front edge and closest to you. My concern is that they would be easy to bump if you leaned forward too far. This list is quite handy because sometimes it's a little challenging to try to remember what these things do. So I've talked about the stuff that comes with the Sarah, and what I'll talk about now is the buttons and what they do. And I'll start out with the part that's facing up, not on the front edge, but actually on the front of the device. On the left side, you have a hollow circle with a button below it. These are two oval buttons. The hollow circle is the scan button, and the one below it, which has a right arrow followed by two lines going up and down to the right of it, these indicate the read button. So you use this to toggle reading on and off. And as I said, the button above it is the scan button. To the right of that is the double left arrow, and this is to go back by paragraph. To the right of that is the left arrow, and this will take you back a word at a time when it's reading. To the right of that is a column of three buttons, and from top to bottom they are up arrow, select, or selector as they call it, and the selector has a filled-in circle on it, and it's a round button, and then the down arrow is below that. And beside that column of three to the right of it, you have the right arrow. To the right of that is a double right arrow. The right arrow takes you forward one word. The double right arrow takes you forward by paragraph. And then there's a bit of a gap, and then in the rightmost position is a column of two. The top button has a series of lines going from left to right, and five of them to be exact. And this is the menu button. And below that is a button with a circle, and inside of that is a question mark. It kind of looks like a short line going to the right just a little, and then a long slash going from upper right to lower left, and then a dot at the bottom of it. That's the print question mark, and that's the help button. Now, on the front edge, we have some buttons. The leftmost is the power button. Looks like a slightly indented circle. To the right of that is a rocker switch, and this is the volume rocker switch. And what you have is a little symbol in the middle, and you push the blank side to the right or the blank side to the left of it to turn the volume up or down. To the right of that are two pairs of buttons, and these are buttons that users can adjust if they choose to, but they are set with defaults, and I think I'm going to keep the defaults as they are. These are called function keys. The leftmost in the left pair toggles the camera light on or off. If you're in a dark room, then you can toggle the light on, and this will allow enough light for the camera to read. The default is off. The next key beside that erases the current page, and the key to the right of that cycles through all of the available scanning modes. The default is automatic scan of a page at a time, which means it will not save the page, it will just read it to you. And the scanning modes are described in the user's guide. And the key at the right of the right pair, the fourth function key, will let you choose whether Sarah divides columns or ignores columns. And the default is that it allows columns to be viewed as columns rather than straight across as some weird long line of some type. Next to that is another rocker switch, and this allows you to adjust the speed of the voice and the speed of the reading. To the right of that is the headphone jack. So it does come with a set of headphones, and I don't plan to use them, but people apparently have found them quite useful. So that is the Sarah. And in all of my working with it today, I did turn the thing on. It takes a while for the thing to power up and to shut down. In fact, I would say that it takes about 2 minutes to power up. When I powered it up for the first time, I was getting really nervous because I thought this thing is beeping over and over, and I don't know why it's doing that. I need to turn the volume down. I don't think it's supposed to take this long to boot up, is it? It's supposed to come in and say camera edition and stuff. Something wrong here? I don't think so. I'm turning it down. This is not I think the recorder's screwed somewhere. There it is.
Welcome to Sarah. Samantha, is the current reading with? Press the green read key to begin reading. Press the yellow help key followed by any key to learn what it does. New document. Place a page under the camera.
Samantha, which is the default voice, will come on and announce some of the visual indications of button presses and what they are, you know, yellow button and all that. That isn't going to do us any good if we're blind, and this can be changed in the menus, and I did go in and change that so I can show you non-visual orientation.
Welcome to Sarah. Tom, is the current reading voice? Press the read key located directly below the scan key to begin reading. Press the help key located at the bottom right of the keypad followed by any key to learn what it does. New document. Place a page under the camera.
What I did here was I changed the voice to Tom, which I prefer, and then I changed the setting to the orientation setting so that it would be a bit more descriptive, and then I turned the scanner off and turned it back on, and that's what you hear after all the beeps. And then I'll show you a section of my test where I actually grabbed a book and started scanning it. Turn the page.
Praise for Planet Narnia, the seven heavens in the imagination of C.S. Lewis. As with Planet Narnia, Michael Ward has established himself not only the foremost living Lewis scholar, but also as a brilliant writer. His cumulative case for reading the Narnia books in terms of the planets is overwhelming. Introduction to a masterpiece is something of a masterpiece in its own right. Times Literary Supplement. Ward's argument is extremely convincing. If more scholars wrote such Wintuckian, enchanting prose and discovered such compelling secrets.
One of the concerns I have about this device is that I would like to see a mode where you can turn off the reading. For example, if you happen to be scanning a large document, you don't want to read it right then, you just want to scan it. It would be nice to get it into some kind of quiet mode so that the reading will not start. You'll hear a camera click when the scanning is finished. so there really is no need for it to read if you don't want it to. So I think that would be a real plus. You could just go on and listen for the click and then turn the page. To save a document, you get into the File menu, and there's an option that says Save As. But I'm in the Close Document menu because I don't want to save what I just scanned. So in the Close, you have Yes, No, and Cancel. Yes is close it and save it. No is don't save it. And cancel is just get out and keep on reading. So I am in
cancel button, no button.
I'm in no, so I'm going to push a selector key.
Leaving menus, document closed, single page automatic.
I'm done showing you how this thing works. And I've got the volume turned down, so let's see how this is at powering off.
Press the power button again to power down the Sara unit. Press any other key to cancel. Cancel button.
And here we go. Powering down the thing, which is going to take a while. I think this is one of the little complaints I have, is that it takes so long to boot up. I don't know what kind of system it runs under, as I said. But you can bet this is so accurate, and I am really quite delighted with it. So at least I know that I can read books, and I am delighted to be able to. And as you know, this is really quite remarkable as far as accuracy. I do have a few comments about the device, however, which I hope will make some sense. Yes, I think we're done. You have an idea of how fast this thing is and how accurate it is. You can connect a Braille display. You can connect a USB device. You can actually save a book to a USB device. You can save it either to a text file or to RTF. And there's a microphone in the device so that even though you don't have a keyboard, you can give it a voice name so you can find it in the device itself. It has some kind of internal naming feature so that once you get it onto your USB device and plug it into a PC or whatever that's got a keyboard, you can just rename that to the book title or whatever you prefer. And Bookshare does accept RTF files. How are you going to keep a book open? Because some of these paperbacks don't want to stay open for very long. And that is kind of a concern. I'm thinking probably the way around that is to find some kind of transparent plastic bag or something. And you can put the book in that, and that bag or container or something will hold the book open. I do hope that you have found some of this of interest. I hope that you could understand what was going on with this. I was doing some informal testing, moving this recorder around that I was using at the time, and so you heard some rattling and some mic sounds and stuff. But at least it gives you an idea of what the thing does. If you would like to contact me, my email address is maryemerson@sbcglobal.net. And thank you for listening to this and putting up with all the extra noise and the differences in volume and stuff. It was a lot of fun to put together, and I did want to mention what the device did in a little more detail. So hope you've enjoyed it, and bye for now.